I've got a quick question for you, alright? I wanna hear your thoughts, I wanna know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you, alright? The answer's not important, I'm just glad that we could talk tonight. So what's your favorite?
How did you get?
If there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time here.
So, hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers ask each other questions and give each other answers. I am one half of that podcast, senior writer for Last Week Tonight, author of How to Fight Presidents, and once again, sick boy Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, say hello, but please, not too loudly.
I'm loving this new sultry voice you've got that you're working out, Dan. You're like, it's like I'm doing the podcast with Jessica Rabbit.
Oh, thank you. It's, I was just in Baltimore last weekend. I've been sick for, what feels like eternity now, it's just a cold that won't die. And I was in Baltimore.
You're sick people now.
Yeah. With friends over the weekend. They were in an Airbnb. I was, isolating in a hotel cause I still had to work on the weekends, and I would catch up with them after work every day. And it was just almost cartoonish how bad my voice was when they would greet me. And ask me if I was feeling any better. And I'd be like, 100%, let's go. Let's fucking party. Baltimore's got a casino, did you know?
Just when you can't even help your voice from cracking anymore. And
you just sound terrible.
Yeah. Well, that's a bummer. Was there a lot of expectorate? Was it that kind of sickness?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's just been unpleasant.
You can't
and
sleep.
Like the other stuff about... any kind of cold or sickness is just like, my life is not my life right now. It's not just that I'm coughing and I have a sore throat and a stuffy nose. I'm also not sleeping well. I'm not going to the gym. I'm not running unless I'm really like forcing myself to just have a bad run. And I'm also just kind of like a little bit lazier around taking care of my house. So like everything is just off right now. And yet I'm still doing this podcast.
It's good that you're doing it. Yeah. We kind of have to get them out of the way because we've got some holidays coming up. So like, just like, so people will peek behind the curtain and see how the sausage is made. We hate December because it makes it really difficult to do the podcast. You can't travel with microphones and stuff like that.
No, it's
illegal. So we kind of try and cram them all in into like one little window. But I'm glad that you're doing it.
I'm glad I am too. And there's a podcast that one of the only podcasts that I listen to, Hollywood Handbook and The Flagrant Ones, both hosted by the same two guys, and one of them was just audibly very sick on the podcast recently, and I was listening to it thinking, why wouldn't you just take off? It's unpleasant to listen to you. And now I'm in this position and I'm just like, I can do it. I mean, I'll do it. Whatever.
We shot an episode of After Hours back in the day where we were out in the desert, and it's like one of the only episodes of After Hours where we are not in the diner and we're just like stranded. The premise of it, or the conceit, is that the car has broken down surely because Michael did something wrong, and we're sitting out in the desert and I'm getting sick that day. Like I've got a fever and like I'm in the beginning throes of it, and you are like in medias res, like you're in the middle of a sickness, and so you can barely talk. It's a very weird energy in the
I can't remember which of our directors was directing that one, but they're doing like the good guy thing if you're dealing with a self-conscious performer, and they're just like, it doesn't sound that bad, it sounds worse in your head because you can hear it, but honestly you sound fine. And I've watched that episode back and I'm like, motherfucker, I knew I sounded like shit. Why would you?
There's also some weird improv-y tangential stuff. Like at one point you and I fight over a stick and like, it's just a very loose episode. Yeah. I don't remember what the premise of it is.
We fight over a stick? That's fun.
Yeah. yeah, we, I'm like holding a stick and at one point you grab for it and I'm like, it's my stick. And then we like hang on that for a little while. Thanks to Raycon for supporting Quick Question. You can shop early, skip the stress, and snag some of the best deals of the season on something everyone will love, premium audio products from Raycon. Right now, go to buyraycon.com/QQ and use code EARLYBF to get 20% off site-wide.
Thanks to Rocket Money for supporting our podcast. What's Rocket Money? You've heard us talk about Truebill, lowering bills, canceling subscriptions, and more. Truebill has changed its name to Rocket Money. Start canceling your unused subscriptions and save money at rocketmoney.com/QQ.
So I'm glad that you're mentioning sickness, Dan, because I think that everyone in the world might be sick right now. Well, everyone in the superior hemisphere is sick right now because the weather's changing. And I mean, my children are at school, so I've got my finger on the pulse of sickness. And it has been a slog here where like, we moved from one sickness to the other in the course of about 4 days in my family. There was no reprieve from sickness where you thought, oh, antibodies are up. Kids won't get sick for a little while. But then immediately they both got sick again. And they got sick with one of the worst ones. And I don't know if you are familiar with this virus because I don't think I had it as a kid. It's called hand, foot, and mouth.
I've never had it. It sounds familiar, but I don't know what it is. Maybe it sounds familiar because yes, I know all of those words. Never together as a team.
Yeah. Well, it's to give it its full name, it's hand, foot, and mouth disease, which sounds really intimidating.
Yeah.
And what happens is that first your kid gets a really high fever. Then they get normal sickness stuff. They get snotty nose, sore throat. Then they develop blisters on their feet. Like in between their toes, their feet get very, very itchy. They develop blisters on their feet, blisters on their hands, and blisters outside and inside their mouth and throat. So blisters on
their
tongue, blisters in the back of their throat. And then at a certain point, all these blisters pop and your kid is just in enormous pain and sick. For us, it didn't go quite that badly. I heard a lot of horror stories and people sent me pictures of their children when it was happening. But Ronan got blisters in his throat, which was tough for him because it makes it so hard to eat anything. And other than that, he got some on his toes, but they weren't terrible. He got very high fevers though, like dangerously high fevers. And then Gilly had kind of like normal fevers, but then she just got her hands and feet just got covered in these blisters. And it was just such a brutal sickness to like have these kids home in just pain.
Yeah. A buddy of mine.
Brutal for me.
Yeah. Because you have stuff to do.
I wanted to work out and yeah. I had to like, I'm missing weeks and I'm not the one who's sick.
A buddy of mine got an ear infection and he's sick right now at the same time that I am and got a blister on his eardrum. And the doctors were like very surprised by it. It was affecting his hearing and it was just like a tremendous amount of pain and very unpleasant. And one night he was waiting in the emergency room to be seen by doctors and he just couldn't wait around anymore. So he left. And that night when he got home, the blister on his eardrum burst and then all that fluid drained out. And I have all the sympathy in the world for my friend and it seems like it's got to be a very difficult time. Soren, I ask you, doesn't that sound like it would feel fucking great?
Did he say it was really nice to like?
No, he did not.
That cathartic experience? Oh.
But man, that sounds terrific.
It does. It does to have some abscess where you can't reach it and then to have it pop. It would be like the dream.
Just release so much pressure in your head, man.
So when we remember at my birthday, you came out here for my 40th. We all went up to a little mountain town and we hung out and it was wonderful. I was sick leading up to that. And then I was like at the tail end of a sickness when we got there. So I'm recovering, but I still have a lot of like built up mucus in my body. And we drove up there. And as we rose in elevation, you go from basically sea level up to 5,500 feet pretty quick. And when we got up there, I was in so much pain in my face, like in my forehead and in my nose. I guess it's my sinuses, but there was so much pressure built up in there. that I was like, I'm not sure I can do this. We went to this grocery stop, this grocery store first up there, and I just sat in the car and I was like, something's got to change. Like, I can't even see. Like, it's so painful. And it just felt like my whole face wanted to pop. And then Colleen gets back in the car. She's like, how are you? And before I could say like that I don't feel well, this screaming noise comes out of my nose. This like, it was a deathly howl that just like escaped from my nose. And it was just the pressure coming out of my, like it had found its way through whatever the air bubble was, had found its way through all this snot, and it just like released and made this horrific noise. And I just went, oh. Because all at once I felt better. But she was like, what the fuck was that? Just me making a terrible scream from my nose and then coming.
Yeah. The question was, how are you?
Yeah, I mean, great now. But yeah, my children, they just like, we get these, when you have a family where the children are the ones who are your incubators, like they're the ones that pick it up first, you just get these salt the earth sicknesses.
Yeah.
That run through the whole family and you just want to burn everything down. And then on top of that, when it's bad weather, like if it rains, you're like, we're never escaping this. There's no light at the end of this tunnel.
Yeah. I do think this comes from children for me as well. The day before Halloween, this is around when I started getting sick, was Halloween. And the day before, I was at a park near where my brother and sister-in-law live, because there was like this Halloween children's parade and festival thing. And then we went back to my brother's house after that for like a good old-fashioned kids' party. He got a bouncy castle in the backyard, and there were snacks and like... I'm sure you've experienced this too. He has just accumulated so many little kid friends now. My brother and I guess his son. Yeah. There was like a shocking amount of families with kids. I was like, how do you know all these people? Are they all from school? And like some of them are his friends that also have kids, and some of them just seem to be like neighborhood kids. And there was one little girl that nobody knew, and they didn't know her parents either. This was just a little girl who showed up in a princess costume with her parents to this party. And I was talking to their parents at one point because I was in the house exploring, and then this little girl was like by herself also exploring the house because she just wanted to see the rooms. And I was like, I don't think you should be here. We're at this point, by my count, we're the only two people in the house, and I don't like that. Let's go to another person. Yeah. And then I meet someone, and they're like, oh yes, I'm Madeline's mother. I'm like, okay, great. And I was talking to David and my sister-in-law later, and they're like, who the fuck is Madeline? And I'm like, nobody knows where this family came from. Anyway, the point of the story is that was a lot of time for me being around a million kids, and then 48 hours later, I was very sick and have been sick since then.
So this is where I think, I think that in the arms race between immune systems and viruses, like viruses really build up their arsenal and cut their teeth inside children. Like that's where they figure out, okay, we've got a little bit of time to work here because these kids are gross and like they're just these humid little sweat factories that like that the virus really has a chance to try some new stuff out in there and be like, well, what do I want to be next? and then obviously then it gets spread to everybody else and it feels like a brand new virus to everybody.
Yeah. Well, I definitely hate it. And I've been very unreasonable every single night telling myself and anyone who will listen. I think tomorrow I'm going to be 100%. I think I've not gone to a doctor or taken any medicine. I've just been drinking fluids and I'm confident that one more night of sleep, I will be back to my old self. And then I'll wake up at like 3 a.m. knowing that my like awake because of my throat. And I'll still just think like, it's really only got a couple more hours to wrap this up, guys, or else you're going to make me look like a liar again.
It's amazing. It does it feels like your body's a little bit magic in that regard, where like occasionally you'll have a fever or something. You'll be like, maybe this is just one of those things where I get a fever for 4 hours and then I'm better. And the only reason you ever think that that might be the case is because sometimes it's fucking true. Like sometimes it's weird. Like you just get these sicknesses where you're like, I had something terrible where I thought I was going to die for 24 hours and now I feel great.
Yeah. I did make myself soup last night and it was so good. I don't want to talk a lot of shit. And we just had the cook question with Supran and Dan episode, Supran and Pan,
yeah,
where all we talked about was how good our food is. But this friggin' chicken noodle soup that I controlled start to finish and made it exactly the way I wanted it, it just absolutely hit the spot. And I for the most part of the week, I did, I indulged in one of my worst sick habits, which is Postmates garbage food, because I'm already sick and I don't feel like cooking and I don't feel like shopping. And I was like, well, as long as I'm going to be not healthy today, let's really steer into the skid and let's get some McDonald's or some Panda Express. And then it wasn't until Thursday of this week that I really made a dynamite chicken soup from scratch. And I was right. It was exactly what I wanted and what I needed. And I hope I get sick again so I have another excuse to make it.
Because
I almost never make chicken soup. Huh?
Walk me through it a little bit. Are you using like Fusilli noodles? What are you using?
Just like cheap ass egg noodles.
Okay.
Really nothing fancy. And then like,
are you pulling the chicken? Is it shredded?
It's shredded, yeah. Cook it first and then shred it and throw it in there.
And when you do the noodles, are you cooking those in the broth?
It's all one pot, yeah. And there's a lot of fresh thyme in there. There's some fresh rosemary in there. I had this, I think I might have mentioned it before, this spiced whipped ricotta that I'd used for a different affair. I still had a little bit left over in there. And I was like, fuck it, let's see what happens if I throw this in there. Perfect. Absolutely perfect.
Really?
Addition.
Cheese. Mm-hmm. And do you fuck with celery and carrots?
Here's the thing. Every recipe that I was looking at calls for celery, and I hate celery, so I just didn't do it. And that's my prerogative as the chef in charge here. And like normally, I don't know why I have a tendency of following recipes, even if they have an ingredient that I don't like, because I want to honor the intentions of the provider. But this time I was like, no, I hate celery. I don't want to buy celery. I don't want to eat celery. Let's say yes to the carrots and let's say yes to onions and garlic, but you know, don't put anything in here that feels like a chore to me. And it was great. It was incredible.
It's occurring to me now that I also don't like celery in soup, but I just assumed it was against the law not to do it.
Right. It must serve some kind of function.
Because Colleen makes soup all the time and she makes dynamite soup. And then when the kids eat it, Ronan really struggles with the celery, even though it's like mushy, like there's nothing to it, but I'm like, you eat it. And he's like, why? And I'm like, it's the law. Like we all eat it. I don't like it either, but we just eat it. And it didn't even occur to me that like, oh no, we could just make it without the celery. It's that time of year again, where we're going to be shopping for holiday presents. You know, you're going to stress out. You're going to think, what do I get everybody? What about the people that are the hardest to shop for? Oh, they're the worst. And you got to go to all those different stores or those different sites. Right now, you can shop early, skip the stress, and snag some of the best deals of the season on something everyone on your list is going to love. What is that? Premium audio products, my friends. Premium audio products from Raycon. We're teaming up with Raycon, and right now you can go to buyraycon.com/QQ and use code EARLYBF to get 20% off site-wide on all of their products. So when you're looking for a gift that everyone needs or a stocking stuffer that's not a candle or like a magazine or whatever, Raycons are the way to go. Raycon's wireless earbuds, headphones, and speakers offer premium sound, useful features, a comfortable fit, and up to 54 hours of battery life. And as a person gifting them, you gotta love that they start at half the price of other premium auto brands. Shh, they don't need to know. I'll never tell. Plus, Raycon makes it easy with holiday gift guides for everyone in your life. You can knock out all your gift buying at once and get 30% off by shopping Raycon's holiday bundles. Look, everyone needs a pair of Raycon earbuds in their life. Whether you're listening to music or taking calls at work or just blasting your favorite tunes or your favorite murder podcast during a workout. And you know what you don't need? You don't need those two little dangly stems hanging out of your ears that most earbuds have. You don't have to live like that. We live in the future now. These Raycons are very discreet, tiny little black beads, essentially, that sit deep in your ears and no one can really see them. They're wonderful. They're discreet. And if you're in class, boy, even from like the third row, your teacher's not going to see them. Look, you can't find Raycons in stores. You're not going to find them at a Kohl's or a Walmart or a TJ Maxx. But let me tell you right now, you're always going to get the best deal when you use our link, buyraycon.com/QQ. The Raycon website also offers buy now, pay later options if that's your jam. So right now, go to buyraycon.com/QQ and use code EARLYBF to get 20% off site-wide. That's 20% off any Raycon product, which almost never happens. Or save even bigger and get 30% off Raycon's exclusive holiday bundles. That's code EARLYBF at buyraycon.com/QQ for 20% off your Raycon purchase.
We had a dish that my mom made for us growing up. It's a type of pasta that is spelled, and I believed pronounced, cavatelli, but we always, because of our garbage Italian roots, that meal was broccoli and gabbadile. That's what we always said, a word that I have not encountered elsewhere in the world. And my mom would make it. She had a great recipe for it. She would make it. It was like a good, easy weekday meal. And then when I was on my own, I started making it too. And I would eat it for years by myself with broccoli in there. And broccoli is like easily my least favorite thing in the world to eat. But it took me years to get over the hump of like, well, the recipe calls for broccoli, so I guess you just have to eat broccoli. Like it took me years to realize, oh, stop making the thing you don't like. Replace the broccoli with sausage. No one's gonna tell your mom until she hears this podcast.
Yeah. Cavatelli looks like a mistake pasta. Like, oh, these yeah? are like the To me, it looks like the gnocchis that they were like, no, these ones got fucked up. And like, you just sweep them all into a different bowl and you're like, we'll make something else out of these. They look very silly. They look, they're very rustic.
Yeah, they're fun.
Okay. Should we do our podcast, do you think?
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh, okay. Well, if you're feeling up to it.
I'm not, but I'm going to, I think, I've done a lot of talking already here today, and I think this might be one of those episodes where I just listen and you talk.
Where I carry it? Oh, yeah. The audience famously loves these episodes. These end up being great. Okay, great. Do you want to ask me a question and I'll just talk and talk, or do you want me to ask you something and then I'll answer my own question and you can just fuck off?
You mentioned something before we started recording about finding new drinks to drink, and I wanted to talk a little bit about that because I've made the very reasonable decision to stop drinking LaCroix, which is famously the only thing that I drink. I wake up and I have 4 cups of coffee and I drink my water, and then I drink anywhere between 8 and 12 cans of LaCroix.
I'd be shocked if our audience didn't know that, because even if you didn't talk about it in an episode, I can, throughout these episodes, and maybe Gabe is just a wizard with editing these out, but throughout each episode, I can hear like 4 of them sneeze in the background as you open them.
Yeah.
Throughout the episode.
It's not good. And like, I've asked like medical professional people, I was like, hey, I think I'm drinking too much LaCroix. And they're like, you can't drink too much LaCroix. And I was like, I'm having 8 to 12 cans a day. And they're like, well, don't do that. Don't have 8 to 12 cans of anything ever. And I did more research on it online. And like, again, it won't kill you, but like, it's bad for your teeth. It, makes you feel bloated and gassy. And there's a bunch of things in there that are just like natural flavors that the internet is like, yeah, I mean, we'll see. We'll see what that does in 10 years, and we might all feel silly that we were drinking this poison. So I'm cutting myself off from LaCroix, and now I'm just coffee, water, and at the moment, tea.
You can't live like that. You're gonna kill yourself.
It's so boring to live like this.
Yeah. I can't believe you were having so many LaCroix. It's just amazing to me that when you'd get a taste for something, you go so hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like the gummy fiasco was startling.
Yeah. But I think there's
I'm
like,
glad you're quitting.
Yeah, yeah. I think also like being in Baltimore and being around friends where like my addiction is just suddenly public and visible, where people see me showing up to my hotel room for a 2-day stay and I have like a bag of chips and 2 boxes of LaCroix. And it's like, oh, this is, I normally do this without anyone seeing me. I don't like it. I don't like this feeling. This was under control when it was private. And now there's an audience who knows that I'm going to house 24 cans of LaCroix in 48 hours.
I'm a ship adrift in terms of drinks right now too, but for my own reasons, which is I'm a big fan of Dr. Pepper, soda in general, but Dr. Pepper in particular. And I've been trying to drink less soda. And so when I've been trying to eat better at lunch, that's like a meal I can control. The other ones I have to make stuff that my kids will eat as well. And that's all bets are off. But for lunch, what I've been doing is I've been getting a salad at Whole Foods, whatever they've made, whatever like tree bark kale bullshit they've made. I'm like, then this is what will go inside me. And I pile one of those cardboard boxes full of it and then wolf that down. But I need something to drink and I need something to look forward to drink because I hate the meal so much. Mm-hmm. And I also don't want to drink a lot of sugar. So they've got, you know, like Santa Cruz juices and things like that, that are all, if you look at like normal fruit juice, even just a good orange juice, it's like 40 grams of sugar, which is as much as a Coke. And it's like, well, I'm defeating the purpose. So for a while I could drink these Honest teas. You know, are you familiar with Honest?
Yeah.
Okay. So Honest makes a tea and they make like a mango one. They make a peach one. Those each have about 15 to 20 grams of sugar, which I'm like, that's reasonable. I can concede that. That's great. And it tastes delicious. And at least there's something in this meal that I can look forward to.
Right.
And for whatever reason, within the last 2 months, Whole Foods has discontinued their distribution of Honest tea.
Fuck.
And so I'm just like looking through this other stuff that they have there. And I've tasted a lot of it. And I can pretty confidently say now it's all terrible. It's all dog shit. They've got a lot of microbiotic sodas, which are abysmal. They're so gross. It's like, it's not kombucha bad, but it's like it's clearly just the hint of a fruit, the grossest kind of sweetener you can imagine. And then there's something else going on in there that's like vitamins. It just like has that vitamin-y taste where you're like, no, this is good for me. This like, isn't what I wanted.
Like for your guts, that kind of stuff?
Yes. There's some gut stuff happening in there and I can taste it. I dislike it very much. They've got some other juices. They're all like crazy. They've got so much sugar in them. And I sound like like the mom I always hated as a child. But they have so much sugar that I really can't keep doing that every single day of the week.
Yeah.
And there's no option that's just like, hey, I also, let me take a step back for a second and also just say, when I was drinking like 15 grams of sugar in whatever I was drinking, that was great. It was plenty. It was like that form of sweetness was just enough. And I was like, I am content. This is a good amount. No, we didn't ever have to do triple this amount. It's gone now. There are no options. It's either you go all the way or you're either in the seltzers, like on like the bland end where there's no color or life or light at the end of the tunnel in your entire life. And then you go to the other end and it's like the bliss point sugar.
Yeah.
There's just a mountain of sugar in there and there's nothing in between anymore.
No, I was definitely on the bland side for a while where it's a seltzer that you could tell had been like screamed at by a plum.
Yeah, they left a plum next to it for a few days. it's really, I don't know why this market, like I collapsed somehow. Because I think for a while they were trying this kind of thing and Honest seemed to survive for a while. And now I just can't find one anymore.
Damn.
They have a new one that does, it looks like it's made with like fruit juices, but somehow it also still doesn't have any added sugar or any sugar in the fruit juices. I don't totally understand it. It's very sweet. It's like way too sweet for a tea and I don't trust it. I think something's wrong. And it's not, it's also just not hitting the spot like my peach and mango Honest did. I'm really struggling. I don't know where to go. I don't know where to turn. I might just stop going to Whole Foods.
I might turn into one of those lunatics that gets like flavor shots to infuse my water. Is that crazy? I've seen people do that before.
What is it?
Look at me just like grasping for love kernels for some kind of, what if I just squeeze some lemon juice into my water, huh?
What is, these are they like little Keurig containers and you just pop them in your water?
No, they're, I don't know if they're Keurigs. No.
Well, I know they're like, I in terms of like what they look like, what are they're like sweet?
I don't, it's a great question. I'm only thinking about it now just because there was, I used to have a coworker and she did this. She had these like little tiny green bottles that looked like eyedroppers that she would put into her water. And it took me months to work up the courage to be like, hey, what the fuck are you doing? And she was like, oh, it's a great question. I hate water. It tastes like spit. I don't like drinking it, but the science is pretty consistent about its benefits. So I mix it with these little shots of, I don't know, green, whatever the hell she was doing.
Oh. Oh. Is that me? Am I too now?
Yeah. Like water enhancers, a lot of them are called.
Okay. All right.
Are you wasting money on subscriptions? Get this. 80% of people have subscriptions they forgot about. Maybe for you, it's an unused Amazon Prime account or a Hulu account that never gets streamed. There's this great app that I use that helps me track all of my expenses. And because of it, I no longer waste money on subscriptions I don't even use. You might have heard of it. It's called Rocket Money, formerly Truebill. Rocket Money can even find subscriptions you didn't know you were paying for. You may even find out you've been double charged for a subscription. The other day, I was going through my bank account online and I saw an automatic withdrawal from something vague for Apple for $22 that happened that month, and as I was about to find, was happening every month. Now, I didn't know what it was. I just know that I wasn't using whatever they were charging me for. So I hooked up with Rocket Money to look into what other subscriptions I've been paying for without realizing it. And friends, it's a lot. I'm embarrassed to tell you how much money I've been accidentally spending on things I don't use, but Rocket Money helped me out. They've saved me money, money, money. I use Rocket Money and you should too. I love Rocket Money. Get rid of useless subscriptions with Rocket Money now. Go to rocketmoney.com/QQ. Seriously, it could save you hundreds per year. That's rocketmoney.com/QQ.
I do remember, so back in the day, when I was younger, we would go camping and we didn't have like water purifiers that we would bring. We would bring what are called iodine tablets or potable aqua, which are these like gross little tablets of iodine that you throw in your water. It stains the water bottle. It also makes the water taste borderline undrinkable.
Yeah.
And so on camping trips, you would bring this potable aqua, and then you would bring just tons of Crystal Light powder, which is like a lemonade powder, and you'd pour it in your drink. And it's like, you're brushing your teeth with lemonade. You're doing everything. You're making, making meals with lemonade. Like it's the only way to get over that terrible, terrible taste of iodine. So maybe this is the new version of that.
I feel like they're, it seems like everyone around my age is having the same conversation though. It seems like there should be a market for people who need something healthy but not disgusting to drink to get through their day.
It has to be stronger than seltzer too. I just can't hang with seltzer. It's just not enough. I just want a juice or something, a tea or a juice that isn't gonna be like, I might as well be drinking a soda.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also isn't bland as shit. Anyway, these are, I occasionally pull out of this podcast to just listen to the way that I sound about how I go to Whole Foods every day and can't find the drink I like. And I get immediately embarrassed.
And how you did say how you maybe won't go to Whole Foods anymore. Like you made a big bold threat.
Such a let me speak to the manager threat. Do you have any idea how much money I spend here? I'm going to take my business elsewhere. How does that sound? It's just that the helplessness of a Karen. But anyway, yeah, I'm really struggling. I don't know what to do. I'm sure someone will be very kind and try to write a direct message to me on Twitter and I won't read it.
Yeah.
But surely you will help me solve this problem at some point.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay.
I think, you know, it's tough. You're really right about that. I do feel like one good thing about this podcast is it's got enough of a reach that someone out there has this answer for us and we'll just never know. I have not arranged myself in a position where I am ready to receive that information from a stranger.
And not immediately be mad about it.
Yeah.
As soon as somebody does something, because when I mentioned on this podcast that, I was on the Daily Zeitgeist and I talked to them about how I was having finger pain, like weird joint pain in my fingers. And I was looking it up online, trying to figure out what it was. And I got a direct message from somebody that I didn't follow. And so immediately my hackles are up. And just read the first line of it. And they're like, a lot of times this is like after COVID, like you get this joint pain. I'm like, shut the fuck up. Probably right. Probably absolutely right. Yeah, probably this is like a long COVID symptom. But I was like, you have the audacity to try and help me?
I'm a little self-conscious about the way I've presented myself and my relationship to strangers on Twitter. I still, for the most part, want to be left alone by everyone. But I can sense that I've been too aggressive because I'll get people who I don't follow, who will DM me on Twitter, usually with something like the thrust of which is like, you said this on the show and I have a helpful solution for you, or this thing you said made me feel good or made me laugh or helped me, whatever. Always a nice thing. And it's introed with the most timid person in the world being like, listen, I know the last thing you want in the world is a message like this. I really don't want to bother you. I just found a great substitute for LaCroix and I just wanted to share it with you. Please, sir, don't block me. And I'm just like, man, I'm really scaring the shit out of some of these 15-year-olds, I guess.
So people, you may not know this, but Dan's got a dog, Jackson, who, when he meets somebody new, really is excited to meet somebody, but also really wants to show his deference. And so does this interesting thing where he gets on his belly while his back legs are still on the ground so he can still scoot towards you, but he's on his belly. Like he gets his head down, he gets his upper body down like on its side so you can see belly. But he also just wants to like be closer to you too. So like he just scoots with his back legs. And that's what all these people, it feels like they're doing with you now. Is that you've created a situation in which you might block anyone on a whim. They breathe wrong and you will block them. And so like people are like, I genuinely like you. I think that I have a lot of fun listening to you. I would love to tell you how to solve this problem. Please don't block me. Dan, I have a quick question for you.
Shoot.
I'm going to preface this by saying, I know that this portion has happened to you because it's happened to everyone. Where like you open a bag of Doritos or something and they just taste weird. Like they're wrong. Like they're a little stale or whatever. Have you ever taken matters into your own hands, looked up the company and called them or sent them a message about it? Have you ever gone to those lengths?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
That's
lunatics
that's
do that,
fascinating.
Right?
Yeah.
I did it.
Of course. That'd be a pretty...
I did it.
I would really respect this as a podcast if you were like, me neither. And then we just spent the remaining 15 minutes roasting the straw man that we invented.
It's funny you should say straw man, because these are veggie straws that I did it for.
Oh, wow. That's not even... Are veggie straws ever good?
Yes, that was the problem.
Okay.
I hiatus, which I'm on right now still. I go back to work on Monday, but I've been on hiatus for a very long time. And once I get all the housework done and everything, I get a little listless. Like there's, I no longer have these chores to do and I have free time. And so I turn into a really weird person towards the end of hiatus where I'm just trying to occupy my own time. And what I did recently was veggie straws. You've had them before, right? You're familiar with what I'm talking about? Okay. For the audience, they are like these tricolored sticks of, I want to say they're basically Pringles, but they're in stick form and they're hollow in the middle. They're like a straw, but they're square. And presumably they've got some, they're better for you than any other potato chip.
Yeah.
Because they say veggie in the name.
Right. On that score, it's a snack that I never buy myself. And it's notable to me as the snack. If I'm house sitting for someone else or at just a different house, and I'm very curious what snacks they have for me to eat, and I open the cabinet and it's veggie straws, I'm like, ah, fuck these people.
Yeah, right. Exactly. What and the reason that they've entered our diet is because when our kids go to school, we need something to pack in addition to their lunch, like snacks. And you don't just want to pack your kid Ruffles or whatever. It's not good branding. The optics are bad. And so you're always looking for these types of things that your child will still eat, but that is socially acceptable for a child to be eating out in public. And so veggie straws were like a hit. Our kids liked them a lot. They would eat them. And then I would start eating them too. Now, there are two different flavors of veggie straws. One is sea salt. Bad. Like a solid C- of a snack. It's okay. So there's nothing going on with it. I'm trying to think of like what to equate it to. Maybe like saltines. Like you'd see that and you'd be like, you know what? Maybe I'm not hungry. Maybe I don't need to eat anything. But then they've also got Zesty Ranch, and Zesty Ranch is a. It is so good. These whatever they're dusting these straws with is delicious. It's head and shoulders like better than the sea salt ones. And I think everybody knows it too, because when you go to the store, there's going to be like maybe like two bags of the Zesty Ranch, and then you just see this whole shelf of the sea salt because nobody's picking that shit up. So we get the Zesty Ranch. I brought it home. I put it in the kids' lunches. And as I'm doing that, I'm like, I earned a few of these. Just reward myself with some veggie straws at 8 in the morning. And I started eating them and I was like, these just don't taste the same. These taste like the sea salt ones. And so like I started eating more. And then it occurs to me that there's just no Zesty Ranch flavoring on these. And so I was like, Colleen, get in here. Taste these. And she's like, yeah, it tastes like veggie straws. I was like, do they taste like Zesty Ranch ones? And she's like, no, they don't. They taste like the salt ones. And I was like, where are the police? And so I did it privately. I didn't do it in front of her. But later that day, I looked at the bag, found the phone number, and called the company.
Excellent.
And told them, there's something wrong with my Zesty Ranch veggie straws. I think you put them in the wrong bag. And I did it under the guise of like, this is for your own edification. Like something might be wrong at the plant. Like you might be filling the wrong bags. But I didn't mean that. What I really meant
was, of course not.
Mine is bad. And now you could do so. Now you fix it and you fix my bag. And they're going to. They were so nice. They couldn't have been nicer about it. And like very apologetic. And they're like, didn't even like question anything. They're just like, okay, well, what's the number on the barcode? And I gave it to them and they're like, okay, what's your address? Here, we're going to send you more. We're going to send you like coupons. I was like, okay, solved. Excellent. And then was scared to tell my wife that I had done it too. Cause I know the type of person who does this and it's not a healthy individual. Like the people who do this type of thing generally are, that's a red flag. And here I was doing it. But now I'm telling you, because I thought you might even appreciate it that I did.
I do. And I have a bunch to say about this. One, you're right about the red flag. We had a substitute teacher growing up who was like nicknamed the story lady. This is like a bad thing for a teacher to be, because we would never do whatever the assignment is for whatever the class was. She would just occupy every second of air with her like pre-planned bits and stories. And she was just always telling stories to the kids. And like, you kind of enjoy that in third, fourth, fifth grade, where it's like, I also didn't want to learn today. So this is good. Yeah. And it's a little bit frustrating that it's not like stories go back and forth. She truly demands the center of attention. And if you're bored with her, there's nothing you could do about it. But the other thing that I remember, even as a kid, glomming onto was like, man, every single one of these stories is her complaining to a company and getting free shit. I don't like this quality. I don't think this
terrible.
Is a good person.
It's really, when I hear people in stores that are complaining about a product, or like even at the checkout where they're asking the cashier, they're like, now is it gonna go bad in 2 days, like the last one that I bought? I mean, they don't fucking know. They have no idea. Like, leave workers alone. But but then as soon as this was wrong and I knew it was wrong, I was like, I don't have to live like this. I have the free time to deal with this. What if I just called them? And they apparently get those kind of calls all the time because they handled it efficiently. They knew. They were like, okay, we're really sorry about that. Here you go. Yeah. Here's the fix. And I guess they want the SKU number so that they can figure out where the distribution was, or like where it went wrong in the process, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Or maybe they're just being nice to me. They're just washing my balls, being like, yeah, oh, this is important. This is an important issue. Tell us all about the bag.
The other, I don't want to go into too much detail, but the timing of this is spectacular because I did very recently, like last weekend in Baltimore, I had I'd like to speak to your manager moment, which is a very rare thing for me to do, and not one that I think I'm going to do again. I don't want to explain exactly the circumstances because it's private, and I don't want to, you know, it involves a friend of mine who is made to feel very upset and embarrassed at this place. And I was like on their behalf speaking to the manager. And I think that was part of the motivation behind it. Everything is fine, obviously, but it was a thing where I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to do this. I'm going to talk to a manager. And some notable things about it is that all of my friends afterwards were like, I can't believe how calm you were, which I like. No one ever describes me as calm. So I am very happy that I was calm. But here's, I think, the reason that I could be so calm in this situation is that when I'm asking for a manager, I have a very specific idea in my head, and it's management based on what I saw as management when I was a child. The reality now, if I'm in a restaurant asking to see a manager, it is a 22-year-old. And I'm calm because as soon as this person shows up and they know they're in the wrong, I'm just like, well, there's nothing satisfying. You're not powerful. You're not the authority figure that I'm going to take down. You're a 22-year-old who's unhappy to be here, and you made a mistake, and I guess I wanted to make you feel bad. I'm sure you're going to offer me something for free. You don't need to. This sucks. I didn't say any of those things. But like, that's what's going through my head as I'm looking at a scared 22-year-old. And that's why I'm so unbelievably calm and not like throwing a big fit or anything like that.
Like, even working in a job that you don't want, you start to realize how everyone, like, it's all dissatisfaction all the way down. I mean, or all the way up the chain. I mean, like, you don't have people who are in managerial roles who are like, yes, this is my Olive Garden. This is what I dreamed of. This is what I wanted to stake my claim and like how I'm going to make the world better before I die. So at every single turn, you're encountering these people who are like, I honestly don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to be a manager. I just got out of college. And it's so hard. And so you see videos of where like people are freaking out at managers. And when those people are like cool, or they're like, just get out, get out of my place. Yeah. I'm like, yes. How do you, where did that confidence come from? That authority? I love it. did they kick you out?
No, no, absolutely. Cause again, we were, they were in the wrong and it was a weird little misunderstanding of a night. And, we continued having our fun night after I talked to the manager and everything was fine. I got to look like a calm guy in front of my friends, and I got to stand up for a friend who'd been wronged, and I still felt like I lost.
Yeah. So here's the scary thing is that I think that all the people who generally do a lot of talking to the manager, they also think that. They think I was wronged. So this needed to happen. And so you never really know if that's true until you see it on video, until you see it on
until I go viral.
Yeah, and then you're like, oh, okay. Oh, I've seen it now from the outside. Forest of the trees. Okay. It's clear now.
Why did my friends describe me as calm? I'm shaking.
Let you hear the pitch and tenor of my voice. It's gone way, way up. Well, I'm sorry that happened, but I'm glad that you solved it.
Yeah.
And now you say to me, you're sorry that my thing happened, which I would say carries equal weight, probably.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sorry your thing happened. I'm glad you solved it.
Proud of me.
And you are going to have so much fun with those coupons.
I'm going to give an update. I don't know what they're going to send, honestly. They basically said they're going to make it right. Which is a confusing thing that weird people say, but something's coming in the mail for me from whatever Veggie Sticks parent company is, and I'm so excited. I'll tell you when I get them.
I think I'd really love an update for them for like the president of Veggie Straws to come to your house and be like, listen. Thank you for tipping us off. We looked into this. You're right. There was a mistake at the factory. They'd been going off in different bags for we don't know how long. And it could have stretched on for even longer. And that's just not who we are as a company. So I'd like to listen. First of all, let me shake your hand. Second of all, we'd like to hang your picture in our factory.
Oh my
so
God,
people know this is the guy who saved us from showing our whole ass to the store for years.
I have a good one. Let me pull it up for you before you leave. You know what? I don't have a printer. Let me run to Kinko's real quick. I will get you this picture. I have a great one. You're going to love it. My friend Daniel's in it. We're wearing tuxes. all right. Well, that's our show.
The show is quick. The show is quick question, but you knew that already. We are recorded, edited, and produced by the irreplaceable Gabe Harder. Our theme song is by the incredible Me-Rex. Their digital album is available at merex.bandcamp.com. You can find us for the time being on Twitter. I'm at DUB_INC. Soren is Soren_LTD. The show is QQ with Soren and Dan. You can email the show, QQ with Soren and Daniel @gmail.com. We also have a Patreon that you can find by searching the name of the show and the name of the company. A great question that no one asked is what the show... What's the best way to contact the show if Twitter collapses the way it seems to be collapsing?
We're going to have to start reading the emails.
Yeah. Someone's going to have to start doing that.
Someone. Thank you for the correction. Yes, you're absolutely right. All right, bye.
All right, bye.
I've got a quick question for you. All right, I want to hear your thoughts. I want to know what's on your mind. So what's your favorite? How did you get? I think you'll have a great time, yeah.